Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly newscast, a look at the world of independent wrestling, some of the big events that have come and are coming up very soon this week. This week, we're going to be primarily discussing PWG and AIW, their upcoming shows. However, if you're interested in some of the weekend results, including from CTWE, their final show, as well as Wrestling is Fun and Wrestling is Cool results, if you go to pwponderings.com, click Indie News. That is a great place to find all of the complete results, as well as for AAW as well. We're going to go over some of the highlights, but if this is the first time you're listening to one of our shows, you can find many more of them on our iTunes and Stitcher Radio accounts. And if while you're there, leave us a nice 4 or 5 star review. Let people find out about the show. And all of the things that we do here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings, including the weekly newscast, the interview show is done by me, Fan to Fan from Kevin Ford, and our two specialty podcasts. That would be the Cool Kids Table and the Podcast of Honor, both of which come out on a monthly basis. If you want to support us monetarily, you can do that by going to our High Spots link, getting some of the great wrestling merchandise for the same prices. PWG, a company that we prominently talk about here in the weekly newscast, as well as PWX, whom we are sponsors with, two of the many great companies that you can find at highspots.com. Also, amazon.com, the link is in the right-hand corner at the bottom of the page. You can do that. Click on that and get some great merchandise. Get your college textbooks, which I will be doing very soon. That's how you can support what we do here. Keep the doors open and let Dez and myself and Chris and Kevin continue to do the podcasts that we do. I am now sitting, we're going to discuss Bola first. And to do that, I of course have to bring in the Los Angeles American Wolves of Anaheim.
Oh!
Dez Delgadillo, the famous comedian, is on the line. Dez, what's cooking?
Oh, I'm doing good. Nothing much is cooking. It's all leftovers today. But I'm excited, man. It's a huge weekend coming up in indie wrestling. It feels like this weekend there was kind of a lull in terms of the activity going on in the indie wrestling community. And this weekend is going to be, pardon the pun, but it's going to be intense, man. AIW and Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, two of the most fondly thought of companies in North America, both running shows in the same weekend. So the internet might break for a few hours. So if it breaks, we did it. And what better person to bring on to talk about arguably the biggest event of the year for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla in the Battle of Los Angeles than my Los Angeles American Wolves of Anaheim tag team partner, Brian DeBrain. Brian, what's up?
Doing good. It's a good day. After this podcast, I'm going to watch The World's End and maybe drink a beer or two in honor of The World's End and watch Breaking Bad.
What a fantastic movie. Not to kill the conversation right away, but The World's End is fantastic. And
now you're hiding it on board. I love it.
See it. Go do it. So let's talk about Bola. Are you ready, Dez?
Let's do it.
This Friday night, you know the building right now. By now, it's in Reseda. It is the American Legion Post. And what a show. What a big weekend. 16 of the biggest names in independent wrestling will be battling for the right to be called the 2013 Battle of Los Angeles winner. And we have a huge non-tournament six-man tag. Let's go over the full tournament, and I will go to Dez and Brian for some matches that they would like to see, and then we'll talk about predictions. So let's just go over everything here. Michael Elgin and Rich Swann will be one first-round match, and right away, something pretty special that you're not going to see in a lot of other companies.
Yeah.
Kevin Steen versus Chuck Taylor, Johnny Gargano versus Willie Mack, Kyle O'Reilly versus Trent, Joey Ryan versus Drake Younger, ACH versus Anthony Nese. Both of these men are making their Pro Wrestling Guerrilla debuts. Brian Cage and Tommaso Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa is making his Pro Wrestling Guerrilla debut here. AR Fox is going to be wrestling Roderick Strong in pretty much a dream match. And again, something that you're probably not going to see in any other promotion besides PWG. Gentlemen, and I will start with Brian first. Your thoughts on the first round and maybe some matches that you would like to see after this one, after maybe in the second round or non-tournament matches?
First of all, I'd like to say that you actually said Trent correctly. It's Trent. Trent? There you go. And I got to say that Johnny Gargano and Willie Mack might be the sleeper of the opening round, I think. Just something about the way that Johnny Gargano worked with Michael Elgin in that AIW match just makes me think that he can work with the big guys really, really well. And I think that Willie Mack will need that. He needs a match to break out this year. He really hasn't had that match to that's been really good. Or he's been having good matches, just not like memorable ones that he had with like David Richards and Roderick Strong and all those guys last year. So I think, it's going to be, I think Willie Mack will go over to the next round. But I think that'll be the sleeper of the first night. ACH and Anthony Nice, that'll be really interesting because I can't recall them ever facing off ever. And I think their athleticism will really complement each other well. And I think Michael Elgin might destroy Rich Swann depending on how many power bombs he gives him. And I think that we're finally going to see Drake Younger break through. And I think it's a great way by doing it, by starting off against a former Bola winner, Joey Ryan, so that'll be interesting. And the first round is pretty, pretty stacked. And, man, I wish to see maybe Michael Elgin against Kevin Steen on the next night, and Kyle O'Reilly against Drake Younger the next night somehow. And I don't know if they're going to do Drake Younger and Kevin Steen again, but they might save it for maybe another time. But it's going to be really interesting. And Tommaso Ciampa, man, he cut a really good promo that I just watched before recording. And he seems really, really determined. And he seems where it's almost as if he should have been what Randy Orton should have evolved into, if that makes any sense. Like, I see Tommaso Ciampa as, the Randy Orton that we all want, if that makes any sense. But, the six-man tag is really interesting because I kept asking myself, why is TJ Perkins not in Bola? And then, I guess this is sort of breaking news that he just signed with TNA full-time. And it seems like he's going to have that Joey Ryan kind of thing where he can't appear on DVDs anymore. And I guess he's just going to fill in his obligations for PWG this weekend. So I'm going to take the bold prediction that TJ Perkins pins Adam Cole on night one and challenges for the world title on night two.
Ooh.
It's an interesting one. Go ahead.
I'd pay to see that. I'm a huge TJ Perkins fan, and to have him have I haven't been watching PWG for as long as you guys, so I don't even know if TJ Perkins has he ever been in a high profile storyline or feud in PWG.
That's the thing. No, he's never had a world title match. He's never had. He may have had a tag title shot or two, but he's never had a world title match.
Yeah.
So that's what makes this really interesting to me. And I kept asking if he's not in Bola. And he got a book for Bola, and this is his last weekend, and you got him in a six-man against the world champ. It's almost as if they're setting up a match for the next night, and this would be perfect for it, I think. And what a farewell for TJ Perkins for a short while if he does challenge for the world title. So,
yeah, I think that'd be an awesome send-off for TJ. A great little swan song as he goes off to, he disappears for a while, and Manic takes over, if you will.
Is it a Rich Swann song, Dez?
Oh.
Well, they'll sing it all night long.
There you go. That is the Swann song.
Absolutely. Dez, what do you think?
Yeah, this first round, I think we talked about it with Brian a few weeks ago. We briefly touched on this, where it doesn't right away jump out at you like past battles, bolas, where you don't really have that dream match in your face in the first round. I don't even know if we'll get a big, higher-profile dream match that everyone's been clamoring for throughout this whole tournament. But it feels like this is going to be a great tournament regardless, even though you don't have that. There's a lot of hype behind it, but you don't have the fact that this is going to be a dream match. I think I would like to see ACH up against, God, a lot of people, because he's such a wild card in this tournament. I don't know if he's matched up against Anthony Nice, right? So I don't know. Who would you have advance, ACH or Nice? Because I'd love to see ACH and Rich Swann do stuff. ACH and AR Fox. There are a lot of cool things that could happen here with ACH. So he's, you know, I'm not picking him to win, but I'm picking him to at least advance and really surprise some people and turn some heads. ACH and Kyle O'Reilly would be a lot of fun too. I think, didn't we see that in Ring of Honor recently?
It just happened in AEW on Friday, and it was really awesome.
So, yeah, I feel like in a company like PWG, and I got to check out that AEW match, I feel like they could really make some magic happen together.
Yeah, I think I see ACH like bowing out in the first round just because it's kind of his debut, and you know what I mean? And he'll make a mark, and I think he'll get definitely more PWG bookings down the line. So I think you can save some of those dream matches for like maybe end of the year, next year kind of thing. But I think that if they're going to do that, the loser of the first round six-man tag, I could easily see like an ROH versus DGUSA standoff in a six-man tag.
I would love for that to happen.
I see Rich Swann losing to Michael Elgin, Chuck Taylor losing to Kevin Steen, and Willie Mack going over Johnny Gargano. So you get that Dragon Gate USA, your Ronin reunion, against a trio of like Roderick Strong, ACH, and Tommaso Ciampa.
That would be delicious.
That would be fantastic. I mean, because I also feel like you're going to get TJ. I feel like you're going to get the Forever Hooligans challenging for the PWG tag team titles on night two as well.
See, that I'm not so sure on, because if you have that, then you're going to have another long card, and I'm worried that the crowd might burn out, because remember at All-Star Weekend, they combined two of the matches because they feared that the crowd would just burn out on nine matches. So I'm just wondering, like, maybe they'll save it for end of the year, because there's probably going to be two more shows in this year for PWG, which is my guess, but that seems like something you would save, maybe, instead of just kind of spring it on people.
Well, if the Forever Hooligans are going back to Japan at some point, you probably don't want to do that.
That's true. Very interesting. But I guess if you do have them there, you can add it too. So, I mean, God, if you have a world title match, a tag title match, and the Bowl of Finals in one night, that'll be a hell of a night too.
It could be a show of the year if you do it right.
For sure. And what's Trent going to do?
Oh, that's true. See, there's so many options. Like, that six-man tag really threw things off for me, because now you have, like, instead of 16 guys booked for a weekend, you have six extra guys, you know, wanting to do other things just in case, you know. And, I mean, no one knows if they're booked for night two, and they haven't really announced who's booked for night two, so that also makes it interesting. But there's a lot of potential for night two to be probably one of the big shows of the year without even announcing any matches officially.
Yeah, I think, like, the last show they didn't do that for, where they didn't announce matches, was the one...
Street Vortex.
Yeah, in December of last year, I think, and that one... That one was a very good show, and I think especially we have the intrigue of night one. Especially after night one, I think we're really going to have a good idea of how blow away the second night's going to be of that show, because, man, that six-man tag, regardless, is just going to be so much fun.
Or maybe it's an eight-man tag. You never know.
That's true.
And if they really need to cool the crowd down, you know, just throw Joey Ryan and Trent out there for a match. You know, that'll cool them down.
Wah, wah.
Dez, no sell. That's no sell number one if you're keeping track at home, folks.
I chuckled a little bit.
So now I'm going to put you both on the spot.
Ooh,
okay. And what I want you to do is, I don't just want you to pick the winner, but let's have some fun. Let's pick who are the four people, and obviously this is tough with no brackets, but who are the final four? And you can rank them from 4-1 or 1-4, however you want to do this. Since I knew that you guys knew that you were picked the one, but not four, so I'll give you a minute, and I will go with my top four. My number one, I think, is Drake Younger. I think he is going to win this tournament and defeat Adam Cole at some point for the PWG World title, perhaps at the next show. And I think he's going to wrestle Kyle O'Reilly in the finals. I think O'Reilly is one of those guys that... PWG has really been focusing on, even more so than, you know, Ring of Honor, as a singles, you know, defeating Sami Callihan, Davey Richards, you know, these are big victories. And, you know, I don't think you just put him in there, you know, willy nilly and not just, you know, have him lose in the first round. That to me doesn't make sense. Kevin Steen, is my third choice, and Roderick Strong is my fourth. I think these are two perfect guys to, you know, put O'Reilly and Younger over. They have a lot of credibility with the audience. And, you know, I think Roderick Strong is one of those guys who can deliver a great match no matter where he's at. And he is pretty much always going to be the bridesmaid and never the bride in these singles tournaments. I mean, obviously, he's had a lot of success in DDT4, but he's just he's never going to win the Battle of Los Angeles. And those are my final four. Dez, who do you think's winning, and who do you think the other three semifinalists are going
to
be?
All right. Well, I'm with you when I pick Drake Younger to be number one and win the thing. I just think it makes sense from a storyline perspective, where he's come up short a couple of times and he's really gotten white hot with the crowd. And there's just like that really organic connection there between a wrestling crowd and a performer like Drake Younger. So I think, honestly, I feel like he's a shoo-in, but it's PWG, so you can never say that. I would say maybe Kevin Steen as my number two. I feel like he would be a guy that Younger could beat. They've already done their little storyline in PWG, but I feel like they could definitely use the out of, well, this is a tournament thing, and it just happens to come down to them in the finals. And I think they could have a really blowaway match, and Drake Younger emerges bloody yet victorious from all of that. And, I really want to say ACH ends up in that final four. Like, I know it's a long shot, but I feel like he ends up in that final four because I think ACH has so much momentum going for him right now. And he's like got to come into PWG and really make an impact. Neither he's going to have a really, really, really good match in the first round, but I feel what they will do is they'll put him over and they'll have him in the final four. And then, I don't know, my number four, I'll say Ciampa. I don't know. I feel like Ciampa, like it's Brian Cage, and I know Brian Cage is a very, very popular now in the PWG faithful, but I feel like Ciampa's promo on YouTube is going to like put him over the edge somehow, and I don't know. Maybe it's just a wild guess, but I feel like Ciampa's going to do more than just lose on the first night.
For sure, for sure. So I think we've got our picks. And Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, I got to agree with everyone's number one with Drake Younger. He feels like Kenny Omega in 2009, where everyone just wants him to win. And once he wins, it's going to be this great, amazing moment like Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam, and I don't think PWG will take it away from you like WWE did. But my number two would be Kyle O'Reilly, just because of the momentum he has right now and the big wins. I think they'll have maybe O'Reilly and like Drake in the semifinals, or maybe in the finals as well. Just building up that O'Reilly streak versus Drake's fan momentum and getting the crowd behind him. My number three would probably be Michael Elgin, just because I think they can play off that story from last year, making it all the way to the finals. And I think last year's BOLA, even though everyone remembers it as Adam Cole's BOLA, I think Michael Elgin was the MVP of that BOLA, and he had the most memorable matches last year in BOLA. And I think he can do it again and have some more crazy, memorable matches with a different crop of guys as opposed to the same crop as last year. And I'd love to see Michael Elgin and Drake Younger hook it up, and I think that'll be a hell of a matchup. And my number four, my dark horse, I gotta say, is maybe AR Fox, just because AR Fox is coming up, is splitting from that tag team, or the tag team division of PWG with Samurai Del Sol going to developmental in WWE. So I think if you want to push another, you know, fresh singles guy, AR Fox is the guy, just because he's the Evolve champion right now, and he's having like phenomenal, amazing one-on-one contest with guys, and he can work with big guys, he can work with guys his size, he can work with smaller guys, and I think him against Roderick Strong will show how diverse he is, because everyone knows Roderick Strong works so well with the light heavyweights, and I think AR Fox can be well with Roderick Strong, and you know, have that great chemistry with Roderick Strong, and maybe even have like a crazy match with Drake Younger or something like that the next night or something like that, or maybe even Kyle O'Reilly, but I think AR Fox is that dark horse.
I think regardless of how it turns out, I think we're going to be really happy with just the match quality of it. I mean, I feel, again, like I think we have a consensus here, and I feel like a lot of the wrestling community feels this way, that Drake Younger is kind of the shoo-in.
We have set him up for failure.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. Even if he doesn't win it, we're going to be very happy, I think. Like last year, I don't know, did either of you pick Adam Cole to win it last year?
I don't think anyone did.
I don't think anyone picked. I think last year, the first night, everybody's bracket pretty much went to hell.
Definitely mine was. I had Willie Mack and Brian Cage in the finals.
I think I picked Willie Mack to win.
I think I did too. I picked Willie Mack to win.
That means Drake Younger's not going to win.
Oh, no.
We've set him up for... He's done, guys. He's going to lose in the first round to Joey Ryan.
Oh, my God. People will riot, I think.
If you want to see a great reaction, just wait to see if Joey Ryan pins Drake Younger.
Mm. Or the reaction.
I will tweet about it at SurrealMPWP Editor.
Maybe Matt Morgan will come out and help him win.
I mean, if you want to turn Joey Ryan into the biggest heel in the history of independent wrestling, you could do that. But
I'd do it, but I'm a terrible promoter.
Dez, you don't want to make money. You literally just want to take a lot of money, put it in a barrel, and burn it. That's what you want to do.
I hope this comedy thing works out, because I'm just going to book wrestling shows to entertain myself.
And then you're going to sit on a throne being fed by lovely young ladies grapes. And that's how Dez's wrestling company is going to go.
That's right.
Are you going to have Brian help you out at all with the booking, or is this just going to be your thing?
I still play EWR, so yes.
it's going to be my baby, man. The worst possible ideas you could ever think of, that's what will happen here.
I got a bad idea. Let's have Candace turn heel and team with Joey Ryan.
Oh, that's a bad one.
That's soap opera.
Dez, you really need to do the blind referee gimmick. That really needs to happen.
I need to do it somewhere. It's been talked about. I'll just say that.
I mean, I know it needs to happen, but we are going way off course here. So, Brian, I know that you will be attending both nights of the 2013 Battle of Los Angeles.
Bastard.
Are you excited? Are you ready? Is your body ready?
I'm so excited that I can't stop making these like logo posters, man.
Your logo posters are so much better than anything anyone else is producing in indie wrestling.
Thank you. I try to have that kind of feeling towards them. Like, I just see movies that I love as a kid, and I was like, yeah, let's do that.
you should make money for these posters, Brian.
Nah, it's not as
fun. I
mean,
it's better than the porn covers that PWG puts out now.
That same old collage.
Ugh, so bad. Like, just throw you some money. I mean, yours are better. Like, the Forrest Gump one, people would buy that DVD if they saw it. That's a great cover.
Thank you, but I think I'm going to get sued for that. If that ever
I'm a giant Forrest Gump mark, so that's probably I like that one most.
So awesome.
I don't think they would mind throwing Brian a little bit of money. I feel like Brian makes up, like, 30% of their business going to, like, 35 consecutive PWG shows or something.
Yeah, I think I invested more than the initial PWG 6.
Dez, are you going to either night of Bola?
I'm not. I've got stuff coming up this weekend that's not.
Whoa.
I hate you, Brian, but I hope you have a good time, man.
It's okay. I'll be representing, you know, David
Richards.
You
also get to see JP Nichols as well. He's making his PWG debut as well.
Very cool. Very cool. Shout out to him. We'll probably see him there. Get him a free drink.
And then you're going to do like 6 podcasts next week.
We'll see how the schedule goes.
What you should do is you should just record yourself saying a bunch of stuff and just play it when everybody asks you questions, because you're pretty much going to say the same thing like 6 times.
Yeah, probably, but I'll just change it up a little here and there. You never know.
It's great to be here on Insert Podcast, Nate.
yeah. But, you know.
You're over. You're over with the internet crowd, Brian. That's what's most important.
Dude, he's a celebrity.
Yeah, so, it took a while.
All three of us are celebrities.
We are.
Pseudo celebrities.
This is the famous segment of the podcast.
I mean, when Chris comes back, you know, the star power is really going to get dialed down.
The ratings are going to drop. We're going to have to bring out Vince McMahon to boost the rating up a little bit.
And then we're going to have to screw Dez out of his world title that he's earned for the last year. It's not going to be good.
And then you won't get it back till WrestleMania.
They'll kick me out of the podcast, but I'll show up at the end.
And then we'll humiliate you some more, and that'll get you over. Because that's what worked in 1998. Just remember, kids, when you're playing out of the 1998 playbook, anything having to do with wrestler against corporation will get you over.
Childhood.
On that note, Dez, why don't you hang around? We're going to discuss some of what happened this past weekend. Brian, before we let you go, of course, plug your Twitters and anything else.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, Brian DeBrain. It's D-A instead of the. Lately, I've been churning out these, you know, poster logos, whatever you want to call them. I just did a memento one with Joey Ryan. Last night I did a Almost Famous with Adam Cole in the shade. So you can check that out. And I might do some more depending on how much time I have during the week, because I'm back to full time this week. So there you go. And Bola is going to be awesome this weekend. I'm tweeting results through the PWP account. So I'll try to get as many good photos as I can and tweet as many details as I can. And it'll be fun next weekend tweeting out to all you fans.
For sure. Brian, thank you very, very much for doing the show again.
No problem.
And we will have you on again perhaps next week. That's up to Chris and Dez and whatever they decide. So thanks again.
I'm going to go watch The World's End now. Yay!
What a great movie. All right, Dez, as we move along here, let's discuss some of what happened this past weekend. AAW presented Reign of Violence, a huge show where all three titles were defended in the first half. And Shane Hollister retained his title, and Marion Fontaine and Lewis Linden retained theirs. And, of course, you also had ACH defeating Kyle O'Reilly in what was a fantastic piece of business. And the match that really stole the show was Ethan Page and Josh Alexander defeating Zero Gravity. And from what the Lemmings were telling me in AEW, they cut an incredible promo afterwards. So, Dez, it looks like Ethan Page and Josh Alexander are sort of expanding their reach beyond just AEW and into the rest of the country with AEW this past weekend, and then wrestling for IWL very soon on September the 1st.
Yeah, the tag team of the Monster Mafia is getting pretty famous pretty fast. They're doing AAW. They won't be tagging, but they'll both be at the AIW show on Friday, and then they'll be doing the IWL show on September 1st as a tag team. So it looks like people are finally starting to take notice of these guys, which it is about time. You know, they obviously tore the house down at the AAW show, and I expect them to do the same at the IWL. So I think that this is a good investment on the IWL's part in flying these guys out.
For sure. I am so excited for what these guys are going to be bringing to the table. And, of course, also we had Eddie Kingston and Silas Young. Their feud began, and based on their match, it seems like they're going to be wrestling each other a lot more. Alex Colon and Eddie Kingston formed a duo, so we'll see what happens there. Alex Colon also getting out, sort of expanding his reach beyond CZW. So very good times were had by all, and they will be returning September the 27th for Defining Moment. And apparently there is a big-time main event that is going to be forthcoming, and I'm looking forward to that official announcement. Plus, Colt Cabana will be returning to AEW, and Dez, Eddie Edwards is making his AAW debut.
What?
On September the 27th. So you're going to have both American Wolves, you're going to have Kyle O'Reilly, Michael Elgin, Shane Hollister. It's going to be a huge show again for AAW.
That's exciting stuff, man. And you were there live, right?
Of course, I'm at mostly every AAW show, so it's great.
Yeah, well, kudos to you for keeping us abreast of the AAW stuff on the Twitter at PW Ponderings. Was there something that to you really stood out the most? Being live is obviously a little bit different from watching it on DVD or MP4. Anything in particular that really tickled your fancy as a live AAW viewer?
ACH and Kyle O'Reilly was the best match on the show and probably one of the better matches that AEW's put forth this year. And I'm really excited for people to get to see it. I mean, I know they had a match in Ring of Honor that was on iPay-per-view that was kind of, it was fine, but it wasn't spectacular. I mean, these two guys just get better with every match. And, you know, I feel like Kyle O'Reilly especially is one of those guys that is sort of not just, you know, sort of a Davey Richards shadow anymore. You know, he doesn't even necessarily need to be in Bobby Fish's shadow. He is sort of developing into one of the more reliable independent wrestling talents across the scene. And I think companies like PWG and AEW are really the benefactors of that because they're putting him in such prominent positions. You know, I think when people look at ACH, I think they see sort of a spotty guy, a high flyer. But, you know, based on what I've seen of him recently, I mean, watch the match with Biff Busick at the 2013, the Jail at Night 2. That match, it's not ACH doing a lot of high-flying stuff. He does a lot of mat-based work, and, you know, he uses submission holds and incorporates a lot of wrestling into his game. So what you're getting with these two is the complete package and two of the best wrestlers on the independent scene.
Yeah, man, I got to check that DVD out because just the idea of those two doing stuff together in the ring, like, I swear to God they did something in Ring of Honor, but I could just be completely losing my mind. But that sounds like a match that I would just love to see happen on a much more free stage like AEW or again, like what we might see on PWG. So that's something interesting. I always say I'm going to get it. I want to watch an AEW show, and I don't think I've watched a single AEW.
It's like Shine. It's the same principle. Yeah.
And I didn't watch this Shine either. It's like,
yes, Shine 12. You can also find those results under Indie News. And always interested to see what's going on with them. I mentioned CTWE. They ran their final show this past weekend. That included Eddie Edwards and Johnny Gargano having a match, and as well as Michael Elgin and Ricky Reyes. Dez, there's something I know that you are particularly interested in as it pertains to Wrestling is Fun. So why don't you talk about that now?
Yes, wrestling indeed is fun. And it was also on iPay-per-view last night, courtesy of Smart Mark Video. And I don't know, man. What was it? It was like $10. And I was actually considering sitting down and watching the show. But, you know, some stuff got in the way I didn't get to. But a $10 show, wrestling is fun. And we've got results on that on site, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. They also had a Wrestling is Cool show that aired on Sunday, but unfortunately at the last minute, Smart Mark Video had to announce that the show would not be airing on iPay-per-view due to poor internet in the building. And so it will be airing on a tape delay. And they did make sure to offer refunds to anybody who was inconvenienced by that. So again, just in my mind, Smart Mark Video staying professional and understanding their limits when it comes to iPay-per-view and what they can and can't do.
And so wrestling is fun, but there's also another element to wrestling is fun, even if it doesn't relate directly to the show, and it's Chikara-related. And Dez, I know you are all about this.
I am Chikara?
I mean, this isn't Trent. I mean, this is, you are Chikara. If you want to be Chikara, you go right ahead. I'm going to happily not be Chikara, but if you want to talk about it, it is news. It is worth discussing, so go ahead.
Well, there's a video right now on the PW Ponderings YouTube channel, and you can also find it on the Twitter page at PW Ponderings of Icarus is, in fact, the September show in Philadelphia. I guess it's at the Trocadero Theater. Is that right? Was supposed to be a Chikara date, I guess, and well, obviously things aren't happening in Chikara, so Icarus has hinted that he will in fact be there for the next exciting development in the I Am Chikara saga. So last time
he's apparently going to be at a museum in Philadelphia.
Okay.
On September the 14th, the same day that Wrestling is Heart is running, so those obviously are not necessarily connected, but it's curious that Icarus is going to be there and not in Lafayette or wherever wrestling is hard is running. So evidently this Chikara business is continuing, and wrestling is fun is sort of where a lot of these developments are happening. So if you're interested in keeping up with that, that's where you want to go, is wrestling is fun.
That's right. Go there and know your stuff. I think wrestling is fun. Am I speaking out of line when I say that wrestling is fun is probably like the wrestling is company?
They apparently drew between 150 and 200 fans for their Saturday iPay-per-view. So they are the only one that seem to be having consistent success right now. None of the other wrestling is are really meeting with that same consistency. And the one positive for wrestling is fun is they sort of are using older Chikara characters. They are the most consistent as far as running dates go. And I think they're running in the right area. I think that area has sort of embraced Chikara. And even though it's not Chikara, there's a lot of the same talent. And because it is a smaller town in Pennsylvania, you know, I think it works. I think it works a lot for them. So wrestling is fun. Is the most successful of all seven.
It's because of the banana. If you need a banana to be your most prestigious championship, that is the ultimate prize in all professional wrestling, is the banana.
So we mentioned before that AIW was running this weekend, and we're not going to talk about this alone. We needed to bring in a special guest to help us do that, and we're going to bring him on the line in just a moment here. He is Josh Prohibition. We wanted to have him on before the J-Lit, but because of my screw-up, it's totally my fault. We were unable to put up the audio of that interview, so we're going to give it the old college try again. This time my microphone is actually working, so you'll be able to hear everything in pristine audio. And if not, then Dez will yell at me some more like he's wont to do. Right, Dez?
I'm an audio geek, so I do yell about bad audio.
So we'll bring in Josh Prohibition, and then we will discuss AIW Gleaming the Cube coming up this Friday. On August 30th, this Friday in Cleveland, Absolute Intense Wrestling will be presenting Gleaming the Cube, headlined by new champion Ethan Page, as he defends against Michael Hutter, Eric Ryan, and Colin Delaney in a four-way. There's also going to be a six-way ladder match for the Intense Division title between Lewis Linden, Flip Kendrick, Matt Cross, Marion Fontaine, Josh Alexander, and the debuting Andrew Everett. But our guest tonight is a veteran of the Cleveland pro wrestling scene, and he has been all over the country, a longtime independent wrestling star. We have Josh Prohibition on the line. Josh Prohibition, this is Take Two. How's it going tonight?
Fantastic. How are you guys?
We're good. I'm excited to talk with you, Josh. It's, you know, when I first sort of got my initial taste of the Cleveland wrestling scene, and I'm in Southern California, it was watching Pro Wrestling Ohio on STO, and Josh Prohibition was the first wrestler I was exposed to. So it's actually really cool to finally have you on the line.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that first time Ohio, it went a lot farther than I thought it was. I got a lot of emails from, you know, like Texas and Arizona and California. I was kind of shocked that it was syndicated that far, but yeah, it was a good time.
And we're talking about companies out of Ohio. Obviously, you had the PWO, and a company that has gained a ton of momentum is the company we're here to talk about, and that's AIW. You know, every time AIW holds a show, there's a distinct buzz about it on the internet. I'm sure there's a huge buzz about it in the Cleveland area itself. But as someone who, you know, has undoubtedly seen independent promotions come and go, I'd love to get your take on the momentum that AIW has right now, as opposed to, you know, a lot of the other companies you've seen come and then disappear.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I didn't use that word absolutely on purpose. That was an accident. Absolute Intense Pro Wrestling here, you know, really, I felt like in the last 3 or 4 years here, it's really caught its stride. You know, they, I think they started in 2005, and I actually main evented their first show ever. And I think for a few years there, they're just kind of trying to figure out, you know, who they were as a company and what they wanted to be. And I think, like I said, in the last 3 years, they've really kind of come into their own, and the booking has been excellent. And I think the mix of stars that they've really brought in has really cemented them as one of the top independent professional wrestling companies in the country, and, you know, maybe in the world. And I think the buzz is well deserved. I mean, you got guys going out there from the beginning match until the last match, putting on, you know, any other show in the country, they could be main events. So it's really a cool place to work. It's an honor to work there. And sometimes I feel like, heck, I'm not even good enough to work there anymore when I see some of these young guys going out there and just absolutely tearing the house down. You know, the second, third, fourth match in the night, and I'm sitting there in the back thinking, what the heck am I going to do to try to top, you know, what this crowd has already seen. But one of the things I really enjoy about AIW is, I guess they take all the restrictions off. You know, John Thorne and Chandler Biggins have done a great job of collecting some of the best talent in the country. And I think one of the things that those two dudes have an eye for is guys that, I guess, haven't been established on a national level yet. You know, guys that are, you know, still fairly regional, but really kind of, you know, on the cusp of breaking out. And they give them that opportunity. I think guys like Ethan Page and Josh Alexander are great examples. You know, those two dudes are amazing wrestlers, and I'm really pumped to see, you know, what their future holds. And I think AIW's really kind of given those guys the ball and run with it. And, you know, and I think that's what's making them a great promotion is just, you know, letting guys do their thing, letting guys kind of take all restrictions off and just going for it. And I think that's why they are getting such an incredible buzz.
Yeah, AIW has done a really good job, I think, of bringing that mix in of guys. You know, you got the established top stars like Michael Elgin and guys like that, and also guys that you brought up like Josh Alexander, Ethan Page, who, you know, have been in AIW for a while and are just now getting flown out to like Southern California this coming week for their debut on the West Coast. So, I mean, that's a big deal. And just looking at Friday's show alone, has Biff Busick, guy who's, you know, just kind of started to break into the public view and the debut of guys like Mark Angelicetti and Andrew Everett. Your thoughts on new guys coming into AIW, and is that, you know, would you consider AIW a good platform for new guys to sort of gain that exposure? And do you think that mix is something that other promotions should try to incorporate and really try and mix it up from, you know, a company just doing all young guys or a company just doing all top guys like a PWG, for example?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I like about AIW is that they definitely do have their established roster. They're, you know, they're guys that are seem to be permanent. And but I think, you know, again, kind of a testament to the hard work that the two promoters, John and Chandler, put into the product is they do their homework and they kind of, you know, watch tapes, they go on the internet, they watch YouTube videos, and they find these guys, and they have a pretty good eye for talent. So they always have kind of an open-door policy to bring these guys in. And like I said, you know, they put them in there with some incredible workers. I know you named some already, like Michael Elgin and some of these other guys that, you know, seem to be coming in on a monthly basis. So you're taking these guys that have not necessarily cemented their name, and you're putting them in there with guys that, you know, have and can really go. And it gives them, you know, that opportunity to kind of shine. And it definitely has been a great launching pad for a lot of these guys to establish themselves as, you know, really true, you know, nationally recognized independent professional wrestlers, which is awesome. You know, and I'm hoping, you know, in the next year or two here that AIW can be, you know, spoken in the same breath as like a PWG or some of these other promotions that get, you know, a lot of exposure and credit because, you know, in looking at the product, they're almost neck and neck at this point when I watch, you know, these shows. Like I said, I sometimes sit in the back and I watch what's going on in the ring and I'm saying, oh my God, how am I going to follow, you know, some of the stuff that I've already seen tonight, even in the first half of the card. So, you know, really, it's a promotion that is just really gaining an incredible amount of momentum, as you mentioned, and it's just exciting to be a part of it.
You know, I'm wondering, because you mentioned that, you know, you sometimes you feel like these top guys and all this mix is something for you, a little hard for you to keep up with, but obviously you have a ton of experience. You've certainly earned the right to sort of say what's good and what isn't. I know you even trained guys for a time. Do John Thorne and Chandler Biggins ever maybe go to you and say, what do you think of this guy? Or, is this guy, do you think someone we should maybe book? Or is it just kind of you go in there and you're just as surprised as everybody else as who gets booked on the card?
Yeah, you know, John Thorne and I and then Chandler and I have a really good relationship. You know, we just watched the SummerSlam pay-per-view together, like that last Sunday. And we talked very openly about wrestlers and the product. And, you know, I don't want to take any credit away from them. They do, you know, 99.9% of the work for the promotion. But, you know, they have given me the opportunity to kind of step out in a leadership role in the locker room, you know, with kind of running the locker room, with running the meetings, with making sure that the product is, you know, guys are sticking to their times when it comes to the matches. So they, you know, they've kind of reached out to me in that regard because I have been around a while, and I think a number of the guys do, you know, have a decent amount of respect for me, which is, you know, it is definitely flattering to kind of assume that role as a veteran, which, you know, seems still pretty weird because I still remember being a 20-year-old kid, you know, in a locker room with guys like Tommy Rich and Rhino and Balls Mahoney and, you know, seeing these guys when I was just, you know, barely could grow facial hair. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to kind of assume that role as a guy now that, it's kind of stepping up and running the show. But when it comes to talent, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I got to give all the credit to John and Chammer for bringing in, like I said, some of the best wrestlers who are really on the cusp of breaking out. And I do appreciate it, you know, every opportunity they give me to kind of reach out to the guys and kind of work with the guys. And, you know, if I can impart any wisdom or, you know, guidance, you know, I definitely appreciate that opportunity.
And Josh, you mentioned sort of being a locker room leader, and I'm very curious if you could take us a little bit behind the scenes. I mean, Absolution was basically one of the biggest shows in AIW history for so many reasons. You know, the crowd was incredible. You know, it was the first time or second time on iPay-per-view, and so many of the big feuds coming together. And, you know, it was made known that, you know, you sort of stepped aside and... some of the matches were changed, and you were not on the card, but, you know, BJ Whitmer, Matt Cross, Ricky Shane Page, and Bobby Beverly, they had a four-way instead of the tag match and Whitmer's title defense against Dickinson. So why don't you take us a little bit behind the scenes of what happened there and, you know, what led to you sort of deciding to step aside?
Yeah, absolutely. I know at the bottom of every single flyer and on every website, you know, obviously there's those infamous words, card subject to change. And the day of, you know, independent professional wrestling can be fairly chaotic in trying to plan a show and to make sure that you're putting the best product out there possible. And, you know, when it came down to it, it just, because of some cancellations, because of some guys choosing not to make the trip, it was a very, very difficult, you know, situation in trying to create a card that made sense, that flowed, that worked, and that really is important to do. And, you know, the opportunity to kind of give up the spot came, and it was something, you know, I didn't necessarily, you know, I love the opportunity to wrestle, but at the end of the day, you know, I've done my thing. I've been all over the world. I've had opportunities to wrestle some of my heroes. And, you know, if it meant me giving up a spot on the show, that's fine. You know, I've had my chances. I've had my spots. But there's certain guys out there that have not. You know, at the end of the day, it's better to give a guy a chance to shine that, you know, who knows, could possibly end up in the WWE sometime. A guy that, you know, might, you know, have an opportunity to go way beyond what I've ever done. But I, like I said, I'm content with my wrestling career. I don't necessarily... you know, need to be on a gigantic show anymore. I feel comfortable with what I've done, like I mentioned, and it just worked out better for the flow of the show, and it was something I was willing to do.
Now, you brought up the idea of working with somebody who might go to the WWE at some point. I want to kind of get your take on the opposite side of that, where you had Michael Hutter coming back from a run with WWE's developmental territory. And you had Tim Donce, your opponent on Friday, working with him. What's your take as somebody who's kind of been around, getting a chance to work with somebody who's fresh out of WWE, in a sense, kind of get to initiate them back into the independent circuit and doing all that stuff?
Yeah, you know, I had the opportunity to work with Michael Hutter actually pretty shortly before he left for the WWE. He actually worked for Pro Wrestling Ohio at that time for a very short period of time. You know, and him and I did a little bit of a series there. And, you know, I was happy to see him sign. You know, anybody that can get the opportunity to you know, possibly make wrestling a living, you know, God bless him. I hope it works out for him. But, yeah, I think there is a difference in the styles that you have to wrestle between independent professional wrestling and the WWE. Obviously, you know, on the independent circuit, I think honestly the fans are more demanding as far as the in-ring product, and I think they're a lot less forgiving. You know, I Trent Barretta, I guess, you know, I heard him at PWG was really kind of shocked when he looked out in the ring and he saw the product and he saw what these guys were doing and what these guys were putting out. And from what I heard, you know, he had made a comment about how, you know, in the WWE, he would put on, you know, some of the best matches, you know, during his run there. But he did that to PWG and these guys were just absolutely tearing it up. And he was like, what the heck am I going to do to top this? So I guess that's going to be the challenge now for Michael Hutter. You know, you basically have, again, no restrictions. The training wheels are off. You can kind of do whatever you want to do. And I guess the game now is, can you keep up with some of these guys that are just amazing athletes that have no restrictions, they have no road agents back there telling them what they can and can't do. So we'll see if he can hang. You know, I hope he can. He's a good dude. But again, it's hard. Like I said, like earlier a couple times already, you know, I look out there and I say, oh, what the heck am I going to do tonight to try to top what some of these young dudes are doing right now? So, you know, God bless him. I hope he can keep up, and we'll see how his run goes here in AIW.
Were you paying attention to the show at the point where Hutter had his match with Donst? Because on pay-per-view, watching at home on the internet, the reaction felt electric. And I can only imagine what it felt and what it sounded like in the actual Turner's Hall building.
You know, when I saw Michael Hutter and Tim Donst wrestling, you know, that was one of those goosebump kind of moments that are, you know, what you look for in professional wrestling. And I've only had it happen probably a dozen of times where that, you know, the hair on the back of your neck stands up, where you really feel like you're part of something special. And that was one of those times. You know, it happens very rarely, but when it does, you know, you really feel like you're part of something that's amazing. And it's just one of those moments in time that you want to freeze.
And Josh, for you participating in the JT Lightning Invitational tournaments, you know, we talk about so many of the big shows, and, you know, what has it been like to get to participate in these last two tournaments and, you know, wrestling, you know, Matt Cross in 2012 and then in 2013 getting to wrestle BJ Whitmer?
Yeah, you know, JT Lightning was a guy that really created the opportunity that I had. You know, there was a lot of things that I've done and experiences that I had that I never would have had without JT. And, you know, just to tell a real quick story, before I actually had been trained in professional wrestling, you know, I had the opportunity to wrestle in a professional wrestling ring. And it was actually for John Thorne when he was probably 16 or 17 years old. He rented a ring from JT and he put it into a local gymnasium and put on a show with a bunch of basically high school kids, which was really kind of fun. But I really thought it was going to be my last opportunity to ever be in a professional wrestling ring. So my brother and M-Dog 20 went out there, and we just went insane. Broke every table we could get our hands on, took a million bumps. And after the match, you know, JT, who had rented the ring, approached us and said, you guys are very, very athletic, but you're going to get killed, you know, doing what you're doing. You know, I'd be willing to train you guys. And he actually cut us an incredible deal on training. You know, he gave it to us for probably about a quarter of the price that he was charging other people at that time. And at that point, I went and trained at a school. I didn't even know a wrestling school had existed in Cleveland. You know, I thought you had to either go to Japan or the WWE to become a professional wrestler. So I didn't think the opportunity would ever present itself. So when he gave me that opportunity, you know, that was pretty amazing. Just to step into a professional wrestling ring, to learn how to do things correctly, you know, was an opportunity I never thought that I would have. So after, you know, training with JT, you know, we were able to kind of take our careers off. And, you know, it was tough pill to swallow when JT left us. You know, he was a man's man, you know, a guy that didn't take any crap. He, you know, he told you the way it was. And, you know, I felt blessed just to have him part of my life. And, you know, when he died, that was quite a shock. You know, it's like these, you know, I remember JT as a 230-pound guy, you know, full of muscle, that if you said something wrong, don't be punched in the face, you know. So I always mind my P's and Q's with him. So, you know, to honor that guy, to honor the guy that gave me the chance to be in professional wrestling and to have these opportunities was a cool thing, you know, and especially in there with Matt M-Dog, because he, you know, he was the guy, you know, I broke in with. He was the guy I backyarded with. He was the guy I trained with. So in 2012, the kind of headline, you know, that tournament was really a cool honor. you know, and then in 2013, you know, AIW put me in there with BJ Whitmer, who again, is a wrestler's wrestler. You know, he is legit. You know, sometimes it's hard to suspend your disbelief with professional wrestling, but he's a guy you truly believe could break your neck if he wanted to. So, you know, it was fun to get in there with him, and I hope he's doing well. Obviously, he had that pretty horrific accident about a month ago now, so, you know, he's obviously still in my thoughts and prayers.
And I was also wanted to know, sort of, getting to work with Matt Cross in a tag team environment sort of early in your career, and, you know, you went to the East Coast and you went to all these places, and then years later, you know, AIW put you guys back together, you won the tag team titles. I mean, what has it been like to basically work with Matt Cross sort of during two very different phases of your career?
Yeah, definitely a good question. You know, Matt and I obviously had a lot of success against each other. You know, that was kind of the match that put us on the map as far as independent professional wrestling. And then, you know, obviously we got the opportunity to be a tag team in XPW, especially. And then, you know, there was a long period of time where we didn't tag together. So I thought it was cool that AIW took the opportunity to kind of put us back together and kind of reignite that history that existed between the two of us. And it really was an awesome opportunity. You know, man, it's probably a year and a half, 2 years ago now, we won the tag belt in AIW. And I remember the crowd reaction was just off the charts, which was, you know, shocking to me. I didn't know if anybody would remember or even care, you know, that we were a tag. You know, when M-Dog hit a shooting star off the top and we won the tag belt, it really was, it felt like the roof exploded off the place, which was really, you know, kind of an honor. You know, that we'd still garner that kind of reaction. And like I said, Matt's a guy that, you know, has been one of my best friends since I was, since 1996. So that's quite a long period of time now that we've been really good friends. We're heading towards almost 20 years now, which is pretty incredible. So I guess our connection goes deeper than professional wrestling. We were friends before we were wrestlers. And it's just, again, I think we bring out the best in each other. Obviously, he's one of the best high flyers in the world. I try to hold my own on the mat and suplexes and all that stuff. So I think we complement each other well, and it's just really, you know, we know each other. And I think that's one of the biggest things for tag team wrestling is just that I guess, understanding of where you're at, what you're doing. And that really kind of creates this cohesive team, which tag team wrestling needs.
I love the idea of yourself and Matt Cross starting off as just doing what you've seen on TV and what you think is cool. To the point where you were actually training guys for a while, and you know, you were training them how to wrestle the right way, the way JT Lightning took you in and taught you. What was kind of, I'm curious, whenever I speak to somebody who actually trained wrestling, what was your mentality when you took guys in and said, you know, this is how you do it, this is how you don't do it, you know, you don't just fly through tables. What were some of your main principles that you wanted to pass down to the next generation of wrestler?
Yeah, good question. I used to be a baseball player, and in high school I played some football and basketball, but baseball was my main sport. And you know, when I stopped playing baseball, or basically I could no longer play baseball, I started coaching right away because I felt like it was the next best thing, you know, to still be part of the game, to still be part of the process. And I feel like in a lot of ways, wrestling's the same way. Like, wrestling has given me so much, so I kind of relish the opportunity to give back. And, you know, I don't want to sound egotistical, but I think I'm a good coach. You know, I can break things down. I can communicate well, which is very, very important as a coach. And I can relay information and kind of, you know, like I said, break things down into very easy, digestible steps to become a professional wrestler. And I think, you know, one of the messages that I gave came from a lot of hard lessons that I learned, because we started off the wrong way. You know, we started off by doing the most extreme, crazy stuff we could possibly do, but our basics sucked, you know. So I kind of, you know, equated to building a home. Obviously, you need a strong foundation. You know, your strikes have to be good, your bumps have to be good, your chain wrestling has to be good, and then you kind of build from there. And then, you know, towards the end of it, the crown on the house is the idea of this high-flying stuff, the high spots, the big stuff. But without a firm understanding or a firm foundation, none of that stuff means anything if the rest of your wrestling looks like crap. So I really tried to focus on that. Obviously, you know, the storytelling, the bumps, the chain wrestling, the little stuff, the strikes, the transitions, the stuff that build up to those high spots, so they mean a lot more. And that was kind of the mentality I took, you know, and it was one of those things where, hey, we're not moving on to this until you can show me that you can do this well. And I think, you know, that was definitely my mentality. And it's the same thing with any sport. You know, until you have the building blocks, the foundation, the strong foundation, you know, nothing really else matters until you get that down pat. And that, like I said, that was my main philosophy when I was training guys.
And as we got a couple more questions, and one of them is, you know, obviously you're not maintaining the schedule that so many of your fellow AIW roster mates are maintaining. And I guess I'm curious, what motivates you to continue to wrestle, even if it is only one time a month?
Yeah, I cut a promo, probably I can't remember what show it was. It was months ago now. It was actually, yeah, it was right before Easter weekend. It was Good Friday. I cut a promo for AIW. And that was in a character. You know, that was me. And I basically went on there and I said that I'm a professional wrestling addict. You know, this is something that's in my blood. This is something I love. This is something that doesn't make sense to my family, my wife, my mom, my dad. Nobody really gets it why I still wrestle, but once you kind of hear that crowd roar, or you see your name on the marquee or any of those things, you know, it's very, very difficult to give that up. And I have a love for professional wrestling. No, it's no longer my job. I don't have to rely on that to pay my bills, which is actually kind of nice when wrestling becomes more of a hobby, of something that, you know, you do on the side as opposed to it being your career. I really have found it actually is more enjoyable. And the cool thing about having AIW is I used to be a 5-minute bike ride away. Now I'm a 5-minute car ride away from their shows. And I can go in there and I can get step in the ring with guys, like you said, like BJ Whitmer, M-Dog, Tim Donst, you know, some of the best independent professional wrestlers in the world. So I can still kind of satisfy, you know, that itch. And I don't know if that'll ever go away. You know, I feel like I'll always be involved in professional wrestling, if not necessarily from a wrestling standpoint, a manager, you know, the backstage. It's just, I equate it to a drug. It's something that is almost addictive, something that, you know, once it gets in you, it's almost impossible to shake. And it, like I said, AIW really has given me some cool opportunities, you know, even right down the street, which is nice because I feel like I can kind of juggle, obviously, work and a family and a kid and a wife, and at the same time still be involved in this sport that I love.
Well, let's finish up here by going full circle right back to AIW. You got Tim Donst this coming Friday at Gleam in the Cube, Turner's Hall, Cleveland, Ohio. Donst, you know, has been part of the AIW roster for quite some time. He's a former Absolute champion. And your thoughts on just being able to get in the ring and work with Tim Donst, and maybe even some thoughts on just the current character of Tim Donst, because I think it's pretty fascinating, the idea that, you know, he feels he maybe feels a little overlooked and is trying to take out that neglect maybe on top stars and veterans such as yourself.
Yeah, I you know, like I said, I feel like AIW is coming into its own in the last few years, and I think the same could be said with Tim Donst. You know, he's a guy that's been around a while, and I think he's a guy that's really kind of been going through like a metamorphosis and evolution as far as his, you know, his stance in professional wrestling or his character in professional wrestling. You know, and he definitely seems like a guy with a chip on his shoulder, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think in professional wrestling, that can be a fuel that you can use in an engine to get you to where you want to go. And with Tim Donst, I think he is angry. I think he is pissed off. I think he is feel like he is overlooked. But, you know, the one thing I can guarantee him on Friday is I'm going to get in there and I'm going to go as hard as I can go. And like I said, you know, I'm not a guy that's wrestling, you know, 12 times a month at this point. But I'm definitely in good physical shape. And I, you know, I got, when I started, 1999. So I got a decent amount of experience under my belt. And I've definitely gotten there with some guys that are pretty bad dudes. So, you know, I don't sweat Tim Donst. I respect Tim Donst. But, you know, when we go toe-to-toe on Friday, you know, he better not, again, try to overlook me, because, you know, I can still dish it out. And I'm excited about the opportunity to step in the ring with them. And again, I'm always excited to kind of test myself. And I've said this in other interviews, and, you know, I'll say it again here. If tomorrow, you know, or Friday is my last wrestling match ever, hey, man, I'm happy with what I've done in the sport of professional wrestling. I could leave it right there in the ring. So that, again, is a very freeing and a very nice thing, because I can go out there with no reservations and just do my thing. And, you know, again, I always tell my baseball players this, leave it all on the field. You know, and that's what I plan on doing with Tim Donas on Friday, is leaving it all in the ring, give him the best that I got, and hopefully that's enough to pin his shoulders to Matt 1-2-3.
Well, one more time, everybody. It's Gleaming the Cube, AIW, this Friday, Cleveland, Ohio, and Turner's Hall, shop.aiwrestling.com if you want to buy tickets. And Josh, how can people keep in touch with you on social media? And if you have any merchandise that you would like to get rid of, you can feel free to plug that now as well. The floor is yours.
Yeah, absolutely. For Twitter, I'm at Josh Prohibition, one big word. Facebook, I keep that family only. So if you want to get me, give me a Twitter. As far as merchandise goes, I'm not trying to peddle anything anymore. I got enough money. So go give me an at Josh Prohibition. You can see I'll talk wrestling, baseball, occasional recipes that I cook, you know, whatever. I'm usually fairly entertaining. At least I think I entertain myself. So at Josh Prohibition at Twitter.
Thanks very much, Josh, and continued success to you.
Yes, sir. Have a good night. Thank you again.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right, Dez, we've had a great time with Josh Prohibition and Brian DeBrain. It has been a busy 4 weeks. We've had some incredible guests, some good times and great memories. It has been a huge month of independent wrestling, Dez, and I just want to thank you for having me and making this a very fun month of discussion.
Hey, I just want to thank you, Jerome, for coming on and tolerating my at times technological ineptitude, at other times very controlling, newsy brain. But I mean, I want to thank you for believing in this podcast. I'm happy to be able to do this every week and share indie wrestling news with everybody. It's just it pleases my inner journalist. So it's a great time. And I didn't think I was going to say this in week one, but I'm going to miss you on the newscast, Jerome.
Oh no, Chris is gonna be so disappointed in you.
Oh,
he's gonna give you some lashings, and he can drive to your house. It would only be like 4 or 5 hours as long as his car doesn't break down. Am I right? All right.
I'll sell that one for you.
Yeah, that was a good one though, right?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I mean, you know, it's one of those things where we got stuck, and you know, we were gonna call someone to drive us, and Dez, you would have been the first one. That's what I would have got, but, you know, minor problem.
See how that would have gone, me driving you to Reseda.
I mean, that would have been entertaining, if nothing else.
I know people with working eyes who can't maneuver the parking lot in Reseda.
I was in the parking lot, but I didn't watch people try to park. It's because I stayed at the Hampton Inn, which is literally right there.
Oh, okay.
So all I had to do was walk. Best idea ever, by the way.
Yeah, don't, if you can figure out how to do so, don't drive to PWG. It's a fun place, but it's not a very nice area.
Yeah, it was interesting just to be able to exit the building, get tacos from a truck, and then go back to the hotel.
Yes.
Those tacos were delicious, by the way.
Those tacos, that has become, I think for many fans, a post-PWG tradition is great wrestling and tacos. They go hand in hand.
Ugh, I'm making myself hungry.
Do you want a taco?
Absolutely.
Alrighty.
All right, Dez, where can people find more of your babblings and ramblings?
I do babble and ramble quite often. I'm on Twitter at Dez Delgadillo. That's where I will plug a lot of my upcoming comedy gigs as I learn about them, and tweet out all the million podcasts I do every week, because as much as I'm trying to dip my feet in the world of stand-up comedy, I still love professional wrestling, and I love to babble about it. So you can check out those babblings as well on thingsdezsays.net, which is my personal blog site, as well as my Ring of Honor TV recaps and news updates in the Figure 4 Weekly newsletter.
Who reads that?
A lot of great, dedicated people who are big fans of my work.
Really? They're fans of your work?
I was shocked, too.
Huh. I hope Brian gives you a good cut of that, right? You make, like, all the money from that, correct?
Oh, yeah. I've got a golden boat now.
Really? I thought that was a myth, but it exists.
It's a thing.
Is it a boat, in fact, made out of gold?
He uses the boat to go on his Bigfoot hunting expeditions.
This makes me very excited. So when do I get to come on the golden boat?
You're going to need a press pass for that.
How do I procure a press pass?
It's a long process that involves blood and a chili bowl.
Huh. I've learned so much on this podcast, mostly from Dez.
Most of it erroneous.
Most of it erroneous. Twitter.com/PWPonderings is the place to find results. We're going to have Bola both this Friday and Saturday night. We'll see what we can do about AIW results as well, but you definitely want to keep your eyes on that Twitter page just to see what's going on in the world of independent wrestling. If we don't have live tweeted results, then we will surely have results posted shortly thereafter, and you can go to the Twitter and get the link right there. It's a great place to, you don't want to go to pwponderings.com, it's a great place to get the direct links to articles, reviews, and all that good stuff. Leave us iTunes and Stitcher Radio reviews. Leave us feedback, mailbag at prowrestlingponderings.com. For Dez Delgadillo, my name is Jerome Cusan. You've been listening to the Weekly Newscast. Chris will be back next week for better or for worse.
Thanks for listening.